What it do, balls deep, snappy nap, happy game day. Before we get out, hit some Peter Parker and head out and see Houston whoop up on them Jacksonville Jags. We got to do a little preview. We start with the Sunday night football. New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys got swept last year by the Giants in the division despite the two hot rookies, Dak, Zeke. We can go over the suspension. We've been talking about Zeke all fucking offseason. Let's lay off of him and let's talk about the other motherfuckers on this Cowboys squad. The hot Giants D gained their momentum the last six games of the season last year because of their defense alone, and obviously a guy named Manning, Eli. They still got chances to go to the Super Bowl every year. It all depends on this damn muddied up division that's been competitive in recent years. Let's hop on it. Let's start with the injury report. Giants, only one notable injury. We all know about this little fucker with the bleached top head. Odell Beckham did not practice Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Obviously, game status questionable. You know, this is a little chess piece, little chess game going on, I guess, with the injury report or whether or not Odell will be playing. Obviously, I'm sure the Cowboys went over their specifics, the game plan, when to double him. It's not even in the red zone you want to see Odell. This guy can break off a fucking 3-4 yard inside slant for 70, 80 yards. He's magic. But I guess we'll see come game time. As far as Dallas, they're missing Anthony Hitchens, linebacker. I think he had to get some shit scoped out. He could be out up to 8 weeks. Cowboys hoping he comes back, so they're not going to place him on IR. Obviously, because of this, they're trying to fast-track Jalen Smith. Kind of take over his spot. Hitchens is not a playmaker, but he's a solid contributor. I think 80 solo tackles the last 2 years. That's about two-thirds of his tackles, so he's 68 total last year, 70 the year before, so yeah, pretty productive player. Obviously, week one, not really much to go off of as far as game planning for these other two squads. They're going to... What I heard Bill O'Brien say on the local radio station the other day, week one especially, you've got to kind of see what the opposing team did in preseason when their starters were in, how they played you in years past. You know, it's a very small sample, which is probably why we got that lopsided victory opening kickoff, KC at New England. I personally did not think it was going to happen. Should have went the other way. Not should have, but that's what I was thinking. But if you caught the pregame festivities, you saw New England was still tranced, still hypnotized by that 2016 comeback Super Bowl victory. That whole big, you know, bringing out past Super Bowl champions, Kraft coming out with the trophy. I know it's the season opener, but those boys were still living in the past, and it definitely showed. They got a tampon put in and ripped out several times by Kansas City, especially Kareem Hunt. But let's get back on topic. Early Sunday morning, let's try to stay away from regurgitating stats, especially things that, you know, ESPN, the big news guys trying to throw out there, like when it's 68 degrees or under and it falls on an odd even month, the Dallas Cowboys are undefeated on the season openers. You know, that type of bullshit we're trying to stay away from. Let's talk about a couple keys for Dallas to go away with the victory today. What do they need to do? Dez Bryant. That's my number one. Keith's victory. We got to get Dez started early, involved early. I think he's had slow starts. Not necessarily sure why. Obviously, last year, Dak getting in late. Not much chemistry in the season practice, or in the preseason practicing. Obviously, we didn't know until Roman went down against Seattle that this Dak guy was going to be the quarterback. But even before then, Dez Bryant has traditionally, you know, had slow week one games. Back in 2012, 4 catches, 85 yards. 2013, another 4 catches, 22 yards. Just 3 years ago in the 2014 opener, 4 catches for 50 yards. You know, so this guy's been coming, opening up the fantasy seasons for a lot of you hopefuls with only, you know, PPR-wise, 6 points, 9 points. And that's PPR. If you're non-PPR, then this guy was probably traded to you before week two started. Number two. Sounds a little too obvious, cliche, obviously. You know, I was showing love to Giants D, but Dallas's front seven will need to step up and put pressure on Eli Manning. We already know we can't have him in the pocket 3-4 seconds is even too much for a Manning brother. You know, if he can whistle half the tune to Progressive's commercial, this dude's got enough time. It's going to be up to, for sure, Malik Collins, Stephen Pia, both 6'1", 6'2", over 300 pounds. That's the interior D-line. They've got to help because we already know Dallas has the edge rushers that'll help collapse the pocket. Manning's going to step up. That double-A type blitz, I think we see it a lot with the Carolina Panthers, Pittsburgh Steelers. If they can get this pressure up the middle to Eli, that's when his efficiency drops the most. Damn it. It seems I cannot go one or two sessions on the Cowboys without mentioning this freak. We already know the freak, Zeke. Last but not least, the number three key for Dallas to get a victory tonight. Let Zeke run wild. This is another cliche, but let's go ahead and do some comparisons. A Jamal Charles back in Kansas City, a Marshall Faulk in the early 2000s, especially that one Super Bowl they got with Warner. About 50-60% of the offense ran through Faulk. And I'm not saying Dallas has to do that because of the rest of the toys they have, but I don't know. Maybe you follow key number one, let Dez get hot, catch a touchdown or two, and then Zeke milks the clock for the rest of the game. Or flip it, let Zeke go wild in the beginning. That kind of takes the pressure off of your quarterback, young Prescott, and the other offensive weapons. The aging, yet still productive veteran, Jason Witten. Cole Beasley in the slot. You know, everyone's trying to replicate a Wes Walker. This guy's got it. Everyone's been quiet on him. And then, obviously, it's rounded out with Dez Williams. This new O-line's going to get tested today. But if there are any deficiencies, it'll be a little tougher to see because Zeke will definitely make up for it. Once again, happy week one. And once again, it's Nappy Nappy if you ain't heard me before. Let's go through the week one matchups, the rest of them at least. Go do a little quick hits, quick preview. What can we expect? What you should see. And a little fantasy relevance. I can squeeze some of that in. We try to get through each week one matchup in about a minute or less. Squeezing some fantasy love in there where we can. Redskins, Eagles, another division matchup besides the Sunday Night Football one we're talking about. NFC East, first Kirk O'Bangs, that offense, new weapons, new toys, Terrell Pryor. And I'd say an old weapon, but still a young cat, second year, Josh Doctson, didn't get to do much with injuries last year. We'll see how these two boys can replace Pierre Garçon up in San Francisco and DeSean Jackson, who's going to be catching balls from famous Jameis Crableg Winston down south in Tampa. Defensively for these Skins, you already know Josh Norman. He's going to follow the number one guy. Got a little tore up last year compared to his magnificent campaign down in Carolina the year before last. But second year in the system, I have faith. The Washington's defense is not that bad. Their front seven is average. One or two good pass rushers kind of make up for the deficiencies there. As far as Philadelphia, Carson Wentz. You know Redskins is going to try and get him on the ground as much as possible. So Wentz is going to have to lean heavily on his three scat backs, plus the heavy back LeGarrette Blount. We've been talking about him all offseason. We know he's not going to replicate what he did in New England. But can he get pressure off of this young second-year quarterback by carrying the rock, milking the clock? We'll see. And as far as Philadelphia's defense, we know they've been a joke. But fantasy-wise, they've been productive, putting up numbers. It must be the, you know, they had a couple TDs referring for touchdowns. Fantasy players too watching here, obviously Philadelphia's receivers Alshon Jeffrey. If you're in a 12-man DPPR, you might want to stash Torrey Smith. He'll probably catch a bomb like he did in the preseason. I say probably only because I don't really know. And as far as Redskins fantasy pieces, I'd stay away from the running back committee. Let that sort itself out in the next couple weeks, hopefully, between Robert Kelly, Sam, and Chris Thompson. But if you had to go with one, PPR, Chris Thompson, he's a receiving back. If you're going non-PPR, obviously Robert Kelly, just the guy that submitted in week one. And then we already spoke about the receivers. Jamison Crowder, I mean, I would even pop him up as a receiver one. A lot of people aren't trusting him that high yet. But he should definitely contribute, 10, 12 points, at least get six balls. Might take a screen to the house, but this guy's not a one-trick pony. Second year in, you know his route tree is more developed. And with Kirk O'Bangs still slinging a rock, anything is possible 20, 30, 40 yards downfield. Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, Las Vegas, giving Seattle 3 points. That's never good. can never bet against Seattle. Last year, Green Bay, 38-10 victory at their house. Remember, this was without the safety, their heart and soul, Earl Thomas, a defense that already got stronger in the offseason, adding Sheldon Richardson from the AFC East New York Jets. I know he's happy to finally play for a contender and to be on the opposite coast as those trash-ass Jets. Now he's on the West Coast, helping that front seven, adding another brand name next to Michael Bennett, Bobby Wagner. What that does for Green Bay's fantasy hopes, Ty Montgomery, now full-time running back. I'm not going to buy it. It'll be a committee. Remember, this Packer team drafted two or three fucking rookie running backs. It's got to be a committee. Let's think of more non-obvious heroes on the Seattle side. I've been talking about Green Bay's secondary and how they have not been up to par for how long, and obviously the NFC North alone would expose this unit and their deficiencies. You know, Aaron Rodgers, his play on offense will help, but expect Kevin King, the rookie out of Washington, and the other free agent, Devon House, expect these corners to get baptized early on for the next couple weeks, especially this week against Russell and Doug Baldwin. But I think it's going to open it up for Jimmy Graham. A lot of people, you know, it's both ways on the fence. They're high on him. And then a lot of guys think, hey, it's his third year. He still hasn't picked it up. He's never going to match the numbers he did in New Orleans. We're not looking for this fucker to match those numbers. We're just looking for him to stay productive, for the offense to funnel somewhat through him, especially in the red zone. And just a word of advice, not only Green Bay running backs we should all stay the fuck away from, but that goes for Seattle too. I'm hoping Eddie Lacy retains that starting gig. Thomas Rawls, I've been a big fan of him, but he's just injury prone. His ankle's made of glass, or, you know, there's something always wrong with this motherfucker. He never wants to play full 16 games. Go stretch, go do some yoga, drink some goddamn tea. Atlanta Falcons at Chicago Bears. Bears are getting 7 points here. Super Bowl hangovers do exist. Luckily, Atlanta has a cupcake game here against a Bears team that traded up one pick for a guy that wasn't going to get picked anyway, or that would have fell to them anyway. That goes to show you already a quick preview on how fucked up their front office is. I believe balls deep, football's a sweep. We're all taking Atlanta here. Fantasy-wise, keep your eyes on Chicago's Jordan Howard. Let's get away from the obvious, guys. Who the fuck will step up at receiver? Kevin White is a first rounder from the year before last, so 2 years ago out of West Virginia. He's a real speed guy. He was a top 10 pick. Injuries kept him out the first year. I'm not sure what happened to him last year, but is he going to step up? Is it going to be Kendall Wright, a guy who's been balling for his, at least balling as a second, third receiver for Tennessee Titans? But my eye, my diamond in the rough, is going to go towards Atlanta's tight end, a Hooper. See if he's going to get some red zone love. And Tevin Coleman, man, I think he will continue to have a great year. I know Kyle Shanahan's gone. I mean, a lot of people are down on the two running back looks. But, you know, he's just one ankle turf toe injury to Devontae Freeman away from going back to stud numbers, stud touches. 10 to 15 he'll get even as the second back. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns, your toilet paper of the NFL, obviously giving them 8.5 points. That's a lot of fucking points. And that reason alone, if I'm a betting man, I would go with the Cleveland Browns. Now, I think this game is definitely going to hinge on who's going to dominate the trenches. Specifically, can the Pittsburgh Steelers' poor offensive line keep Ben Roethlisberger upright? We all talk about the skilled players that this Pittsburgh team has, but unless they stick with the quick passing option every time, which I know Big Ben's arm, he likes to throw it past 30, 40 yards downfield, but you need time for that. And unless they're going to keep with the quick pass options, I don't see all those skilled players making an impact in today's game, especially with the quarterback who's been talking all offseason about retiring. He's not sure. You know, if you have an ounce of doubt, you're not fucking in it. Your heart's not in it. Get the fuck out of here and let the next young stud lead this Pittsburgh franchise. Since I am a betting man, I'm taking Cleveland with those 8.5 points. A team that, opposite of Pittsburgh, does not have much. Quarterback, starting another rookie, getting another rookie, rookie's career off to a rocky start, Deshaun Kizer. Luckily, this kid's, I think he's, what, almost 6'5"? I might be wrong, but a pretty heavy set kid. And just to put it on record here, I'm not a fan of Isaiah Crowell. He is the lead back. It's not that it's his skill set. He did great last year, but it's just the Cleveland Browns.
until I see them do something out of the ordinary, I'm going to assume that they are nothing but less than ordinary. Last but not least, fantasy key advice, Martavis Bryant. You know, I just talked about how can Big Ben stay upright. Well, can these cats make plays when Big Ben is able to release the ball in his awkward positions? One line on his, you know, one defensive guy on his knee, another guy on his shoulder. Big Ben still finds a way to get the ball in the air. It's up to these guys now. Martavis Bryant, is he going to have a lack in or a lapse in a, you know, a mental lapse, drop these deep balls? You know, this guy has it. Played in the game, what, missed all of last year? But let's be real, Pittsburgh walks away 1-0. Arizona Cardinals at the Detroit Lions. A team in Arizona, one of many, or I guess one of few, that can say they failed to meet expectations last year. Coming out of hell, a hot season the year before, Carson Palmer staying healthy. To follow that up with the 2016 campaign, a 7-8-1, a goddamn tie. That just goes to show you the kind of season they had. The pieces are still in place. They're bringing pretty much everyone back. David Johnson, we know, got himself in the flesh, serving as the centerpiece. But old man Carson Palmer, what's he got left in the tank? You know, his receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, the ageless wonder. John Brown, Jerron Brown, J.J. Nelson, these more of a one-trick pony, speed demon type cats. You know, they've been in the league 3-4 years now. Can these motherfuckers learn how to run a different route besides the vertical? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Fantasy-wise, if we're looking for a little sneaky picks, I would have went with Chris Johnson for the Arizona Cardinals, but I believe he got cut. So whoever this backup running back is now behind Johnson, Kerwin Williams, I would like to imagine Bruce Arians wants to, you know, throttle down the touches, especially early on in the season, for his stud, David Johnson. Over on Detroit side, like I said, I'm trying to stay from the obvious guys, Matt Stafford, Golden Tate, you know, get away from those obvious names and look a little deeper. Marvin Jones, he started off hot last year. I'm personally, he's on my squad. I'm leaning heavily on him to be my wide receiver too, which a lot of people are going to shake their heads at, but I'm all about rolling the dice on these guys. Marvin Jones, kind of that guy, that big body, supposed to fill in the shoes of Calvin Johnson, Megatron, but tell me who can do that. Man, I'd stay away from Eric Ebron, man. I think it's time to move on. People are still attached to him because he was a top 10 pick out of Texas Tech. He still failed to materialize in the last 3 years. Still not getting red zone love. If there is a risk you want to take on a Detroit player, steer clear of the tight end and focus on Ameer Abdullah or Theo Riddick. My pick, it would be Abdullah over Riddick, but, you know, Riddick's a pass catcher. There's always a place in the league for these guys, especially in the Detroit offense, where Matt Stafford's slanging it over 4,000 yards, I think, 3 times in the last 5 seasons. One of only 2 quarterbacks to sling it over that many in that kind of span. We'll see what's going down. Balls deep. I think we would go with Arizona here just because of that defensive backfield led by Patrick Peterson, the Honey Badger Matthew, as long as they can stay away from that Peter Parker, play the game sober. It's all good. Oakland Raiders at Tennessee Titans. Titans 2.5-point favorites. Oakland, we're talking about a defensive team that ranked 20th or worse in points allowed and yards allowed. Yet, still got the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Khalil Mack. So you already know, a great defense, or calling out a great defense, it can be a little tricky, but as long as you got some key cog pieces, they can obviously blanket some of the other deficiencies. And these deficiencies, I'd say, are the secondary. Ken Mariota of the Titans pick apart Oakland's secondary before that front seven devours his ass. But I think Oakland's defense is 3 or 4 years from materializing. So it's going to be up to Khalil Mack to make these splash plays. Tennessee Titans, I already did a little preview, dipped my feet in on Mariota. DeMarco Murray, this team reflects, you know, similar to where he came from, a Dallas Cowboys team. Just a run team with a young quarterback that will still make plays, will use his legs if he needs to. And it goes through the running game. If that's flowing, everything else is going to fall into place. Receivers start to get open. The defense will start to creep up. Then start to send receivers on routes 10 to 12 yards past the line of scrimmage. Get behind this young, untalented Raiders secondary. That's the only way Tennessee will have a chance in this. Balls deep football is going with Oakland Raiders here, simply because I love Derek Carr and the swag and Marshawn Lynch. Get the Skittles. Carolina Panthers at San Francisco 49ers. They're giving Niners 5.5 points here. If you've listened to us at all in the offseason, Balls Deep has been very high on Christian McCaffrey's nuts, the rookie out of Stanford. You know, the next one in line to be another Zeke, be the focal point of another rejuvenated offense. Trying to get some balance into this Carolina Panthers offense, something that in the Cam Newton era, you know, they want to get away from giving their franchise quarterback the ball in the red zone, giving him the tough in-between-the-tackle runs when it's, you know, first and goal, second and goal, 1 or 2 yards to go. And this may be the route. Jay Stu still got it. Fantasy-wise, Kelvin Benjamin, if you got him after round 5, 6, it was definitely a steal. You know, outside of fantasy, if we can be real for about 4 or 5 seconds, dude lost his mother this summer. Expect him to ball out in memory of the family. And, you know, just trying to have a comeback year from last year. And as far as Kyle Shanahan's 49ers, they're 2 to 3 years out from saying anything interesting about this team. But fantasy relevance, Pierre Garçon, another one of those late round, you know, let's take a flyer on the guy. I was very cold on him in the summer offseason. As the preseason progressed and I saw Hoyer, how he was slinging these balls, and Garçon was, you know, on the receiving end of them, it's made me warm up a little bit to him. Why can't he be the veteran to at least establish this 49ers attack and what they want to do moving forward? But then again, with Brian Hoyer, you never know which Hoyer you're going to get. The guy that collapsed for the Houston Texans in a playoff game for Kansas City Chiefs, or, you know, the guy that we've been seeing so far, can master the offense, can check down, keep his throws between 10 and 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, and hopefully everything will be all right. The interception numbers stay down. Balls deep football will take Carolina in this one, though. Let's talk about a couple toilet bowl matchups now. And if you're fans of this squad, don't hate on me. Call in. You know, talk some shit back to me. I was born in Wisconsin, raised out in Houston. So from 2002 to 2011, I had a toilet bowl team, the Texans. So I don't want to hear none of this bitching. Indianapolis Colts at the LA Rams. Rams by 3.5 in this matchup. Might be the one, the only few times the Rams are favored in a matchup. But you're talking about an Andrew Luck-less Indianapolis Colts, starting a Scott Tolzien, whose last time I saw his name, or last time it was relevant, was when he was a backup for the Green Bay Packers. If we start with the weapons around the LA Rams, Jared Goff, 0-7 last year as a starter. Todd Gurley, hell of a running back, hell of an athlete. He's going to have to shoulder the load. As far as some of their new offensive weapons, Sammy Watkins, how fast can he catch up, pick up this offense? Hopefully they, you know, limit him to a couple bubble screens, even though he is a down the field threat, take the top off the defense type of guy. I don't think these last 3 weeks that he's been with the team are enough to build any sort of chemistry. But this would be a great week to stick with the brand name that is the LA Rams defense. They should be feasting on this backup quarterback in Indy. Aging running backs, Frank Gore. There is a Marlon Mack, other running back, don't know much about him. I mean, hey, you never know, week one, any given Sunday. And we don't need to talk about Aaron Donald. He did come back, but he won't be here today. Balls deep football is going to take the Rams, just because we got love for the Houston Texans. And any time a division opponent can lose, we're all for it. New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Interstate squad matchup. Bills by 8.5 points here. Vegas showing love to this team. But let's be real, both teams are rebuilding. Balls deep football, nappy nap. I've got LeSean McCoy as my starting running back. He was my first round pick. I had 6th overall out of a 12-man league. Offense is going to go through him. You've already heard me mention a Marshall Faulk earlier. There's just nothing else on this team. They traded away Sammy Watkins. This would be another defense, though, you'd want to stream the Bills against the New York Jets offense that is starting Josh McCown. This motherfucker was teaching math class 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Came back, decided to make a couple more million dollars as a backup quarterback. Although each starter in front of him has just not been able to carry the torch, and this guy gets plugged in, gets to play a little bit more. I mean, that's everybody's dream. I cannot hate. But let's be real, he ain't gonna do shit for the Jets or their offense or the Gang Greens fans. God bless y'all. At least y'all gonna have the number one pick next year. Start watching college football on Saturdays now. Figure out who that guy's gonna be for y'all's team next year. Don't even watch this season. And if you really feel that bad about you, just put on the 2009 Hard Knocks on the New York Jets and, you know, get a little chubby, a little boner off that. And like I said, man, next year's the year for both squads. I don't want to waste any more time on them. Holla. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. Nappy Naps on the way right now. We going to catch this ass whooping week one. You know, with all the bullshit's been going on, Hurricane Harvey, you know, it'll be good for a couple hours for the city to just take their mind off of all this, the demolition going on in all the houses. Some streets just now got pumped out 2 weeks later over here on Beltway 8 and Highway 6. But for the rest of the nation listening to Balls Deep, you know, let's talk about football here. Leonard Fournette is a fantasy relevant player on the Jaguars, and I think he's it. Allen Robinson, if you got him after round 5, then yeah, hell of a pick. But a lot of people are low on him because they picked him so high the year before. I believe in 2015, he was going damn near end of second round, early third round. But remember, it's all about value. So if you're getting this cat after round 6 this year, hell, you're in good shape. Really want to see how Fournette's going to play against this Houston front 7, who's got, you know, Justin James wide back. You already got Clowney merciless. But it's the guys that the nation don't know about, that aren't talking about. Second-year player, interior D lineman, DJ Reader out of Clemson. Rookie Carlos Watkins out of Clemson this year. You're talking about Chris Covington, a guy who contributed, came from Rice a couple years ago. These cats here are the guys that are going to make the plays. It's not the splash plays from Clowney or when Bernard McKinney, middle linebacker, blitz up the middle. You know, it's going to be on these other players. And as far as fantasy relevance on the Houston Texans, you know, Tom Savage, he's not going to be slinging the ball. I think it's going to be like his stat line might be 14 to 17 for 200 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Hopefully that touchdown goes to DeAndre Hopkins, but I'm leaning more towards the tight ends. Fedorowicz, he should have a big game. You know, Bill O'Brien, offensive mastermind, sure, but he's also very conservative. And the last thing he wants to do is that quarterback carousel he's been doing every goddamn year. You know, switching out Mallett, Hoyer, week 1 or 2, 3 years ago. Last year, having to toggle between Osweiler. Even though they paid him all that money, they didn't pull the plug on Osweiler till the middle of the season. But I think Bill O'Brien just wants to manage that situation a little better, a little differently from years past. And I think it's going to get it done. I will say, though, what contributed to my low passing yardage out of the Texans is obviously that hellacious secondary. That got better for Jacksonville Jaguars. Jalen in his second year, but they got A.J. Boye, who they stole from the Texans. Paid him a little bit more bread. We'll see what goes down. And then Calais Campbell anchoring that D-line for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are going up against a Houston Texans D-line without Dwayne Brown, left tackle. Let's see what goes down. You already know Balls Deep got Houston on this one. I'm going to take them by 7 points. Vegas odds giving Texans 5. And those are your week 1 matchups. NFL Sunday from the Balls Deep family. Nappy Nap. Enjoy, man. We hit some Houston traffic here. We're about 1 hour 15 minutes from kickoff. Once we get settled in the parking lot, going to take some Peter Parker real quick and then get in there and enjoy the game. After the game, we'll break down some of the early game, noon game results, and obviously your Monday Night Football matchups, doubleheader. I believe we've got the Saints at Vikings, where they're going to show love to Randy Moss. I think they're going to put him in the Ring of Honor. And then Chargers at the Broncos, the late night game. Holla at your boy.
Hey, Martin, thanks for listening to the show. We hope you enjoy the content. All right, bye-bye.
Balls Deep Football, I am sure y'all have to be hyped for this very first Sunday of our NFL season. It's your boy Rob checking in with y'all. Enjoy it safely. Do everything that you gotta do. Do the tailgate at home. Enjoy every second of it. I need Darryl Sproles to go off today. I need him to give me at least 20 points. And I need Andy Dalton to come up big out of nowhere like my boy Alex Smith did and get me some points. My roster's looking pretty good. I'm okay with it. And I got some trades lined up for the rest of the season thanks to the advice of you guys and everybody over there. So enjoy the football season, boys.
This is what all you motherfuckers wanted in the NFL world. All y'all motherfuckers with a hard dick over rookies. I'm live at the game, nappy nap, with my bitch. Watson's in, so far.
Miller getting the ball carried.
A read, second play, another handoff. This is what y'all wanted. We'll see what happens. I feel bad personally for Savage. Bill O'Brien's fired after this year. Nappy Nap's gonna call it now. Can't just stick to one girl for the dance. Always gotta take another. You know, Bill O'Brien's a manhole. We're gonna dig deeper into his background. This man must have molested children or did something back in the day. He's just so indecisive with everything. Let's check out the second half. I'll let you, boy. Deshaun Watson isn't the only change coming out of the second half or coming out of halftime to start the second half. It looks like they got 71 out. Zuafilo, sorry ass. We live at the game right now, Nappy Nap. Yeah, just caught a roughing a passer, roughing up my boy Watson. Zuafilo was out at left guard in his Mance, Greg Mance, 6'3", 4, 310 pounds, 3 years. From Toledo. Let's see if we can get a little Toledo magic like Kareem Hunt did the other night. Hopefully, Mance can help protect this quarterback a little better. But Watson's looking good, man. He's rolling out. They'll let him read half the field. It's just a spark, you know. And, the fans, the boos have stopped. So, we'll see.
Yep, that's the sound of the Houston Texans game today. Their opening game was a total flop on the face. I think the final score was something like 27-3. I think, did we even score? I think, or maybe 6. Complete flop. The Jaguars stopped the Texans all day. They even made a quarterback change. We saw Deshaun Watson. So the first game of the season, and you know, we've been here before because when they put Brian Hoyer in, he got yanked within like the first quarter. I think it went down to the fourth quarter this time for Deshaun to get in, but I don't even know what to even think of this. It's really gut-wrenching, to be quite honest. But we've done this before and bounced back and had a decent season. But this is just like, man, when are we going to get it together? When are we going to get some kind of production? And you got to wonder, does this mean Deshaun has the whole game? I didn't even see the press conference, to be honest. I turned the game off in the fourth quarter. I saw a few plays of Deshaun getting in, but you know, it was just kind of really annoying to watch, so I just had to get some work done. I'm going to watch the game later on the re-air just so I can talk about it more in depth, but as a fan, it was terrible. Just wanted to share my initial feelings.